Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin daf Samach Beis, and for a change, we're actually on daf Samach Beis, which is good. So we're three lines down from the top on Samach Beis Amid Aleph. Today's shir, let me flip to the sponsorships, is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. It's also sponsored by Dr. David Polliner in memory of his mother, Aleha Shalom, Tavaleya Bas David, whose Shloshim is today. She taught kindergarten in Jewish day schools for over 35 years and impacted the lives of hundreds of children. And her neshama should have an aliyah. And we thank Dr. Polliner very much for his sponsorship of the shir today. Okay, so today we're going to cover, call it two general primary topics. First, we're going to finish the discussion we began yesterday. You'll recall yesterday we were talking about the gzera that they made because of Darkei Shalom, that you were allowed to assist somebody who is known to violate certain averas, but only part way. You're allowed to facilitate them, you're allowed to help them, but you're not actually allowed to help them in the active performance of their avera. So we had spoken about a woman who's chshud al hashvius, we had spoken about a woman who's an am aretz, who is chashud to be metame various things. We had said yesterday that there's a distinction between whether we're concerned that she's going to be metame chulin versus being metame chala, because being metame chala is already an isser midaraisa. Being metame chulin is not an isser midaraisa, it's only an isser midarabanan, and therefore we're going to be a little bit more lax if there is a darkei shalom reason to permit some show of friendship or some show of assistance. We're going to be a little bit more relaxed when it comes to helping her out in that regard. Today, and what we concluded with yesterday was a discussion of, let's say you give somebody like this produce. Let's say if you give an Amaretz produce, are you believed or is she believed that what she is giving back is that which you gave her? So in other words, if you give her produce, if we need to be concerned that she touched it, or if we need to be concerned that she actually swapped it out for her own produce, well then we have a problem, because we don't know. If you're a chaver and you give an Amaretz something to safeguard, and then when you take it back, when the chaver takes it back, we don't really know what the status of that thing is. Is it tamei? Is it tar? Is it what you gave her? Did it have trumas and maisers taken from it? We don't know. What we were saying yesterday was that, generally speaking, we are not concerned that somebody is going to switch out that which you give her for something else. And we said, but what about if you give something to your mother-in-law is going to switch it out? And we said, no, it's not because your mother-in-law is a bad person, it's because your mother-in-law wants you to have the best things. What if you go to a hotel and the hostess in the hotel is going to switch something out? We said, no, that's because she wants her guests to have the best things. What about the woman who's helping her friend need dough, and the friend is going to give the woman something to eat, and that's stealing from her husband because the husband doesn't know that she's giving her friend something to eat? So if she steals from her husband, certainly she's going to switch it out. And we said, no, that's only because she's Mora Heter and figures, listen, this woman is helping me, therefore I'm going to give her something to eat. So that's where we are holding right now, three lines down from the top. So we're going to finish this discussion about, generally speaking, whether people are believed that that the item which you gave is the item that they are giving you back. We are then going to talk about the last couple of concepts, the last couple of topics mentioned in the Mishnah, also because of Darkei Shalom, that you're allowed to be machzik yidei akum b'shvius. We're going to talk about what that is, that we said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to be shol b'shloman, that you're allowed to give shalom to Goyim, and we had said that applies not only during Shemitah, but also not during Shemitah, and we're going to talk about what it means to give shalom, why it is that you're allowed to give shalom, why you're makdim shalom, is it in every circumstance that you're allowed to give shalom to an Akum, and that is going to conclude the Amud and the Perek and the Sugya of Darkei Shalom. On Samach Beis, Amud Beis, we are going to begin the sixth Perek of the Masechta. And the sixth parak of the Masechta, so we've been on a very, very big tangent. So we've been learning stuff that doesn't really have so much to do with Gittin. It's all about Darkei Shalom. We had the Churban Agadatas in the beginning. We had Tikkun Olam. All this good stuff. Now we're back to real Gittin Sugyas. So on Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to tell us that there are two types of Shliach. There are two types of Shluchim when it comes to Gittin. There's something called the Shliach LaHolacha. There is something called the Shliach LaKabbalah. So we know that the way that a get generally works, if you read the Pesukim in the Torah, is that the husband has to give the get to the wife. So it's very easy when the husband is giving the get directly to his wife. What if the husband designates a shliach to give the get to his wife, and then the husband wants to retract on the shlichas? Can the husband retract? So it's going to depend on whether the wife already received the get. What happens if the wife designates a shliach to receive the get from the husband, is the husband allowed to retract after the get is given to the shliach? The answer there is no, because it's a shliach lekabbalah. Once the shliach lekabbalah accepts the get, there's nothing he can do. What happens if the husband says, what happens if the wife designates a shliach lekabbalah, the shliach goes to the husband and says, hey, I'm your wife shliach, give me the get, and the husband says some language which is a little bit uncertain. So that's what the Mishnah is going to talk about. And that's what the Gemara is really going to talk about going into tomorrow's daf. So the general idea that we're going to talk about later today, later this morning, is the husband allowed to sort of shift the nature of the shlichus? So if the wife appoints somebody as a shliach lekabbalah to accept the get, is the husband able to say, I don't want you to be a shliach lekabbalah, but I do want you to be a shliach lehalacha? Nafkamina, before the get reaches the woman, is the husband allowed to retract? If he's a shliach lehalacha, the answer is yes. If he's a shliach lekabbalah, the answer is no. Once the shliach lekabbalah accepts the get, it's all over. The husband can no longer retract. All right, so that's what we're going to talk about on Amud Beis once we get to the sixth parak. So let's pick up Samach Beis Amud Aleph, three lines down, last word on the page. Last word on the line, rather. Heyid Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulam Mishum Rav Yochanan Achiv, Shenemra Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Chisma. Ein Osin Chalas Amaretz Bitahara. You are not allowed to make Chalas Amaretz Bitahara. So what does that mean? So Rashi says that if a Ma'aretz says to a Gavol Chaver, so a Gavol is a kneader who's a Chaver, that you should separate challah from my dough and make it Bitahara, so the Gavol Chaver is not allowed to believe the Ma'aretz that the dough that the Ma'aretz gave to the kneader is actually all going to be Tahar, because we are afraid that the dough has already become, that the dough has already become tame. So what's the problem? So the problem is that a Kohen, who could remember what you have to do with challah, you have to give challah to the Kohen. So the Kohen, who is getting the challah from the Gabol Chaver, from the kneader who is a Chaver, is going to assume, oh, if I'm taking the challah from a Chaver, it's obvious that this challah is Tahar. And so he's going to assume that the challah is Tahar, therefore he's going to eat the challah. The problem is, the gabol, the kneader, is a chaver. But the dough that the kneader is using is from an Ama Aretz, and we're afraid that the dough was already tameh at the time that it came into the gabol's possession. So that's why you're not supposed to work with chalas Ama Aretz b'tahara, because there is going to be an assumption that the dough is tar. The assumption is going to be made by the coin that the dough is tar. That could be a faulty assumption, because we're afraid that the dough was already tamei at the time that it got to the possession of the kneader. Aval osin isas chulav bitahara. However, you are allowed to work, if the gavel is a chaver, she is allowed to work with the dough that is chulin, the dough of an amaretz that is chulin bitahara, benotale menu kedei chala, and the gavel obviously separates chala from that dough that she is working with, umanikha bekfisha uban chusa, and she puts the chala in a kfisha or an anchusa. What's a kfisha or an anchusa? So Rashi explains, these are kalim shel baloi chasamos, chamasos, ve'ein regilin litein behem isa v'tomein mekavlin. So there were a couple of things. There were two characteristics to these kalim that Rashi highlights. Number one, they're not mekabel toma. Number two, they're not kalim that ordinarily store, that people ordinarily store dough in. So again, this is chulin dough, this is not challah, this is chulin dough that the Amoretz gives to the Gabol Chaver. The Gabol Chaver is allowed to accept the dough. The Gabol Chaver is allowed to separate challah. She puts the challah into this special kli. Uchejaba Amoretz litol, no telashteyem ve'nechoshesh. And when the Amoretz comes to collect her dough, she collects both of them. In other words, she collects both the dough that you're giving back to her, the dough that was needed, plus the challah portion that was separated and housed in this special kli, and ein achoshesh. So what does it mean, ein achoshesh? Ein achoshesh means that the gavel doesn't have to be afraid that maybe the Ama Aretz is going to touch the challah that was placed in the special kli and be metame the challah. So whereas in the first case, because you were working with the challah dough of the Ama Aretz, we were afraid that she was already metamet. Now that the dough is chulin, you're allowed to work with the dough, you're allowed to separate challah, you put the challah on a special kli, you give everything back to the Ama Aretz, and we are not afraid that the Ama Aretz is going to be metame the challah, which is in the special kli. Says the Gemara, next case, vein osin trumas zesa v'tahara. You are not allowed to work with truma from olives of an am aretz v'tahara. And again, it's the same shah, it's the same chash, because we're afraid that this is all truma, so the truma is going to go to the kohen. The kohen is going to assume that the truma is tahora, that the truma is tahor, because you, the olive presser, are a chaver. So the kohen's going to assume, well, it's coming from such and such olive press, and he's a chaver, therefore it's obviously tar. But we're afraid that maybe the zesim were already tamei, were already made tamei by the am aretz at the time that they got to the olive presser, who's a chaver. Aval osin zesim chulin b'tahara. However, you are allowed to work with zesim, with olives that are chulin b'tahara. Benotale menu kadei truma, and the badad, it's called the olive presser, is allowed to separate truma. Umanicha b'kelav shel chaver, and can put it in the kelav shel chaver. Uchesheba amaretz litol notal ashteyem veinachoshesh. And when the amaretz comes to get her olive oil back, you're allowed to give back the olive oil plus the truma portion of the olive oil that you separated and that you placed in the special kli. And again, says the Gemara, einachoshesh. That we're not afraid that the Am Aretz is going to touch it and be metame it. Says Gemara, v'taim amai. But what is the reason over here that we are makil? So Rashi says the Gemara is bothered. Why are we so makil? In other words, over here we're separating chala, we're separating truma, we're putting it in a kli, we're giving it back to the Am Aretz, and we're saying that we're not afraid that the Am Aretz is going to touch the truma and the chala and be metame them. But the question is why? Why aren't we afraid that the Amaretz is going to ruin it by touching and being metame the chulin and the chala rather, and the truma? So says the Gemara, well, the reason that we're makel is because we have to be makel. Why do we have to be makel? So Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Kedei Chayev de Gabel, Mishum Kedei Chayev de Badad. It's because the kneader and the olive presser require a livelihood. That we're afraid that if we don't trust the Am Aretz that they are not going to be metame the produce, the zesim or the challah or the dough, then the Am Aretz is never going to give dough to the gabal who's a chaver, because we know that they're not going to get their stuff back. And therefore, the gabal or the badad, who's a chaver, is never going to have any business. And we want them to have business. They need to support themselves. So in order for them to expand their client base, in order to work for not only chavers, but also to work for Am Aretz, we have to be able to enable them at least to accept the chulin from the Am Aretz v'tahara, and we then have them separate the truma or the chala, as the case may be, and we then allow them to give it back to the Am Aretz, and we're not afraid the Am Aretz is going to swap it out. And again, this is like sort of like a... like a darkei shalom tikkun olam type thing. In other words, is there a chash? Maybe there's a chash, but we have no choice. We have to be makel, because if we're not makel, no Am Aretz is going to give their dough or their olive oil to, or their olives to a chaver, and then the chaver's not going to have any business. Says the Gemara, okay, but why do you have to tell me the same halacha? We had exactly the same Gemara, two different cases. One was in the case of dough, a chaver who needs dough, and the other was in the case of olives, a chaver who is an olive presser. So why do you have to tell me the same halacha both by a kneader and by an olive presser? Says the Gemara, v'tzricha diashmin and gabal, because if we only had the gabal, if we only had the kneader, mishum delo nafesh agre. That's because the kneader, how much do people pay already somebody to knead dough? They don't make a lot of money, and therefore, maybe by a kneader, we're afraid kedei chayav, and we let the kneader separate the challah and then give back the challah and the special kli. We're not going to be choshes that the Am Aretz is metame the challah. But the badad, but the olive presser who gets a lot of money because his work is much harder than the work of an eater, maybe we don't have to make this takana. In other words, maybe the olive presser can work only for chavers and he'll make enough money because the olive presser makes a lot more money than a gavel. Says the Gemara, v'yashmin a badad, and if you told me the halacha only by the badad, only by the olive presser, mishum de lo shchiach le, because it's not easy for him to find jobs. Why isn't it easy for him to find jobs? Because he works with olives. He's only able to work during the period of the year when the olives are harvested. So it's a very seasonal type of business. So unlike dough, where dough is needed all year long, needed both with an N and a KN, but the olives are pressed only after they're harvested, and that's very seasonal. Says the Gemara, Aval gabal d'shchiach le'emelo, but by a gabal where everybody's always kneading dough, maybe we don't have to make this takana for him. Tzricha, therefore, says the Gemara, yes, we need to make this takana in both instances. Says the Gemara, what did we say in the first brisa? So Amar Mar, nota lemena kadei chala, that the gabal chaver takes from the dough, kadei chala, the amount of the chala, umanicha bekfisha oban chusa, and puts it in the special kli, which Rashi had told us is not makabel toma, and is also a type of a very distinctive kli that is usually not used for this purpose. Uchshaba amar, it's litol, nota l'shtei meina choshesh. V'leichash dulma nagaba, and we're not afraid that the Amaretz is going to be metame. It says the Gemara, why not? Why aren't we afraid that the Amaretz is going to touch the chala and therefore be metame the chala? Says the Gemara, the Amri le chazi inagaspa hadro lativla. Because the gavel says to the Amaretz, oh, you better not touch this chala and be metame it, because if you are metame the chala, then it becomes tevel. Okay, so what's the big deal if it becomes tevel? So the big deal is if it becomes tevel is that there's an iser midaraisa to eat produce which is not mitukenes, which has not had trumas and maisros taken from it. And so if the Amaretz is told that if she touches the dough, it's going to revert to the status of tevel, then that's going to be an iser daraisa to then consume that product. And the Amaretz is never going to violate the iser daraisa of consuming tevel. So how do we ensure that the Amaretz is not going to be metame the chala? Because we lie to her and we scare her and we intimidate her so that she's not going to be metame the chala, because we tell her that she thinks that if she's metame the chala, it's going to go back to tevel and then she's going to be violating an iser midaraisa. So the question is, how exactly can we lie like this? I mean, that seems like pretty underhanded, right? So like we're trying to intimidate the Amaretz into not being metame the chala, so we lie to her, and instead of telling her, listen, if you're metame the chala, you're going to be metame the chala, I mean, that's we lie to her, and we say, if you're metame the chala, you're going to turn it back into tevel. Not true, it doesn't turn back into tevel, you were just metame the chala. So the Chasam Sofer says that it's not really a lie, because the chaver was a shliach to be mafresh the chala, and the shlichus of the chaver to be mafresh the chala was only on al-tanai that if that chala becomes tameh, that it should revert to the status of tevel. In other words, that the whole afrashas chala should be null and void. So the Chasam Sofer has to fetch out this like weird stipulation, this umdana about the stipulation that the gabal is making when she is mafresh or when he is mafresh the chala, because otherwise it really seems that we're out of left field. We're flat out lying to this person to intimidate her or to trick her into not being metame the chala. So says the Gemara, well, v'leichash dilma lo ichpasle. So we're threatening the woman by saying, hey, don't touch this, because if you touch this, you're going to turn it back into tevel. Let's say she doesn't give a care in the world whether she turns it back into tevel. So, okay, big whoop, so I turn it back into tevel. Well, says the Gemara, no, we have to look at the circumstances here. Hasha l'tkune kamakavin, michpas lo ichpas lei. Over here, what's the reason she's giving her dough to the gabal chaver? Because she wants him to separate chala. So you're going to say that she wants him to separate chala, but she doesn't care if it reverts back to tevel? Of course she cares if it reverts to tevel, and therefore that is going to be a sufficient deterrent so that she is not going to be metame the chala. Says the Gemara, Amar mar menotol emenu kadei truma menicha bekelav shel chaver, k'shaba maris lito notol ashtayim vein achoshesh. Again, this is by the oil that the badad chaver is allowed to separate the truma and is allowed to give back the regular olive oil plus the truma olive oil and the kli to the Amaretz. We're not afraid that she's going to touch the kli. V'leichash dulma nagaba. And why aren't we afraid that she's going to touch the kli? So bishlamahasa mislei yakeira, chamay yakeira islei. So if you paid attention to the brisa was very particular, very specific with the words. By the dough, we said that you put it in this, we had said that you put it in the kfisha or the anchusa, and Rashi had said this is a special kli, it's not makabel tuma, there's a heker because it's never used to store dough. By the oil, it simply said you put it in the kalim shel chaver, and we give it back to the Amaretz. So I understand if the Amaretz is going to accept back the dough in the weird kli, the Amaretz knows the reason that it's in the weird kli is because I'm not supposed to touch it. But if she's accepting the oil back, and the oil is not in a weird kli, the oil is in a regular kli, what heker is there that she's not supposed to touch the oil in the regular kli? So says the Gemara, b'manach le b'klei glolim b'klei avonim b'knei adama. Because in other words, the Gemara said, stam kalim, but we didn't mean that you could put it in stam any kalim. You have to put it and klei glolim, klei avanim, klei adama, these are all kalim which are not makabel tuma, and we are and we are not afraid that these kelim are not makabel tuma from the outside, they're only makabel tuma from the inside. Why aren't we afraid that she's going to stick her hand inside the kli and be metame the olive oil? So there is a hecker. So it turns out, because you put it in these unusual kelim, why are they unusual? Because you're not putting them in a glass jar, like you would usually serve olive oil in a glass jar, in a glass bottle. You're putting them in this earthenware receptacle. Therefore, that itself is a hecker, that she's not supposed to be metame that which she is taking back. Says the Gemara, Yachim, ha'iri dechavra, afilu damaretz nami. But why does it have to be kelim shel chaver? So we had said that you put it in the kelim shel chaver, and then you give it back to the amaretz. But if it's kli glolim, kli avonim, kli adama, anyway, that's not makabel tuma, just put it already in the kelim of the amaretz and give it back to her. Says the Gemara, hachinami kamar, bekelim shel amaretz, aruyim l'shtamay spam chaver. That's what the Gemara means. It doesn't mean that it's dafka, the kelim of the chaver. The chaver gives it back in kelim that are roy for him to use. What are kelim that are roy for him to use? Kelim, if that the item in the kli is not makabel tuma. So that's what this means. In other words, yes, you are using the kelim of the amaretz. Why aren't we afraid that it's going to be tameh? Because these are kelim that are not makabel tuma. We're not afraid that she's going to stick her hand in it, because there is a heker in that they're in unusual kelim. Says the Gemara, the next case that we mentioned in the Mishnah was machzikin yidei akam b'shvias, that you're allowed to be machzik yidei akam b'shvias. So machzikin, so you're allowed to be machzik yidei akam b'shvias. Vomer avdimi bar sisna mishmei derav ein odrim in akam b'shvias, that we're not allowed to hoe together with akam in shvias. Vein koflin shalom la'oved kochavim, and we're not allowed to be koflin shalom to Ovdei Kochavim. And why not? Because Rashi says the whole reason that you're allowed to give shalom to a guy is because of Darkei Shalom. And because of Darkei Shalom, you should do the minimum. And what you should say to him is shalom, one time. You shouldn't koflin, you shouldn't say shalom, shalom again. We said yesterday, shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You shouldn't use the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bestow it on an akum. And therefore, for Darkei Shalom, yes, it's appropriate to greet him, but greet him using the minimum. You don't have to go overboard with your greeting. So says the Gemara, but so what does it mean that in the Mishnah you told me that you're allowed to be machzik yidei akum b'shvias, that you're allowed to help them in shvias? We have a braisa that says that you're not allowed to use a hoe with them. You're not allowed to be oder with them in the field. Says the Gemara, yeah, when I said machzik, I don't mean you're actually allowed to physically assist them. So in other words, you pass the guy working the field on shvias, you say shkoyach, right on. So kihod Rav Yehuda amar le achzuke, Rav Sheshes amar lu asharta. So he said, Rav Yehuda would say achzuke, you should be strong, and Rav Sheshes would say, you know, you should have strength. In other words, it's like saying, like, yeah, you go get him. But we're not actually assisting physically the guy in working the field. Says the Gemara Navaiter, Vein Koflin Shalom Lovde Kochavim, we're not allowed to be Kofel Shalom for Ovde Kochavim. Rav Chista Maktim Yavle Shalma. Rav Chista would be Maktim and give Shalom. Rav Kahana Amarle Shalma Lamar. Rav Kahana would say Shalma Lamar. So again, first the Rav Chista would be Maktim and say Shalom, because the practice was the greeter would say Shalom, and then the recipient of the greeting would say Shalom Shalom. So Rav Chista would jump the gun and give the greeting, because then he would only have to say shalom once. Whereas if he waited for the guy to greet him, he would have to reciprocate with the traditional double shalom greeting. What about this thing that Rav Kahana used to do? So Rav Kahana would say shalom alamar. And if you look in Rashi, strange Rashi, Rashi says, v'loyim echat miskaving labarcho, ela libo hoya larabo. So in other words, when he would say shalom lamar, when in his mind he thought Mar referred not to the guy who he was giving the greeting to, but Mar referred to his own Rebbe. So even though he was addressing the guy, he was having in mind when he said Shalom Lamar, he was giving Shalom actually to his Rebbe, which seems a little weird, because Tosfos says, if you look in this last Tosfos, Tosfos says Shalom Lamar. That he was intending not to address the guy, but to stam give his Rebbe a bracha. V'tzarachin, says Tosfos, shlo yehei bazeh gonev das habrios, that this is like genevas das. In other words, you're trying to avoid the problem of using the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Shalom, in greeting a guy. So instead, what are you going to do? He had a kunt, Rav Kahana. He was going to be gonev das abrius when he gave shalom to a guy. So Tosfos says, that's shocking. Says the Gemara, V'alchinam perish kain, lo kamar, ela de'in koflan lo shalom. There was no reason for him to do this, because all the Mishnah said was ein koflan lo shalom. So it's okay to say shalom lamar a single time and have in mind to the guy. So Tosfos says, I don't know really why Rashi explains this, and therefore the way Tosfos would explain it is that Rav Kahana did exactly the same thing as Rav Chista. That Rav Chista would be maktim shalom, and Rav Kahana also would be maktim shalom, therefore he was able to say shalom lamar, using the word shalom once, as opposed to waiting until the guy greeted him, in which case he would have to use the word shalom twice. Says the Gemara, b'shalom b'shloma. So, and you're also allowed to be shol b'shlom of akum. So, hashta achzuki machzakinan. If you're allowed to be machzak the yedei akum b'shviyah sholom b'shloma mibay, of course you're allowed to give them shalom. So, amarav yeva lo nitzrucha elul yom chagam. No, it means even on their yontif, you're allowed to give them shalom. The tanya lo likones adlam levesa shalom dekachavim b'yom chago, that a person shouldn't enter the house of a guy on the day of his holiday, b'yitzin lo shalom, and give him shalom. In other words, don't go out of your way to give the guy shalom on his holiday. Matzah b'shuk nosin lo b'safara b'choved rosh. If you see him in the shuk, you should give him shalom, but give it in a low voice and without tremendous enthusiasm. Ravun of Rav Chista, Havayosvi, they were sitting. Cholav Yozel Geneva, and Geneva passed by. Let's get up in front of him to as a show of respect because he is a Talmud Chacham. Should we get up in front of such a quarrelsome person? While they were arguing, ironically, whether they should get up in front of Geneva, Geneva got to them where they were sitting. And Geneva said to Rav Hun and Rav Chista, greetings upon you, peace be upon you, kings, peace be upon you, kings. So Amr Leh, so they said to me, no longer Rabbanu Nikri Malachim, how do you know that rabbis are called kings? Amr Leh, because Geneva said, Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, be Malachim Yimlochu, because it's be, but Malachim Yimlochu, and this is referring to, Talmidei Chachamim, Verozen Yechokeku Tzedek, is the way the Pasuk concludes. So Amru lo minalon de kaflin and shalma, but you repeated the shalom. How do you know that you repeat shalom lamalki, that you're supposed to be kolfal shalom? So Amru lo Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Minayin shekolfal shalom lamelech. I know it from the following maimer. How do you know that you're kolfal shalom for a melech? Shenemar veruach lavsha samasi rosh hashalishim. And if you look in the Torah, the pasuk concludes hashalishim lecha David v'imcha ben Yishai shalom shalom lecha. So it's a double lashon of shalom. So Amr Leh Lita Marmidi, so they said to him, you want to taste something? So Amr Leh, Achim Rav Yehuda Marav, I can't, because Rav Yehuda Marav says, Asur lo l'odam shiitam klum, ad shiitin machal l'behemto. A person's not allowed to taste anything until he gives food to his behema. Shenemar, v'nasati esa besotcha l'behemtecha, v'hadar v'yachalta v'savata. So it happens to be, well, over here we say, Asur shiitam klum, that he's not allowed to taste anything. The Gemara Maseches Bracha says, Asur shayolchal klum, and if you look, it's actually meduyik what the Gemara Bracha says, because the pasuk that's cited is v'nasati esa besadcha livdemtecha v'hadar v'yachalta v'savata. It doesn't say that you're not allowed to be tom. It says you're not after you give to your behema, then v'yachalta v'savata. And the halacha is, in fact, that you were allowed to the Taz Paskins, like the Girsa in Maseches Brachos, that you're allowed to taste, but you are just not allowed to eat until your behema has sufficient food. Okay, Hadron Alach Anizakin. So now we're done with all the Darkei Shalom. Back to Gittin. So turning to Samach Beis Amid Beis and the sixth perek of the Masechta. Says the Mishnah as follows. Omer Hiskabel Get Zel Ishti. If a husband says to a shliach, accept this get for my wife. Now, what did we say at the beginning of the shiur in the Akdama? We had said that there are two types of shluchim by getin. There's a shliach laholacha to bring the get. There's a shliach lakabola to receive the get. The husband is allowed to make a shliach laholacha to bring the get, because the husband is the one in the process who's giving the get to the wife. The wife is allowed to appoint a shliach lakabola, because in the process, if we're only dealing with the two of them, the wife is the one who's receiving the get from the husband. But over here, the husband says, Hiskabel get zel ishti. The husband tries to make a shliach lakabola, which he can't do. Ohole get zel ishti. Or the husband straight up just makes a shliach lahalacha, imratza lachzer yachzer. If he wants to be chozer, he can be chozer, because he's allowed to be chozer so long as the shliach hasn't given the get to the woman. And in the first case, he's allowed to be chozer, even though he tried to make a shliach lakabala, because the husband cannot make a shliach lakabala. He is only eligible, he only has the power to make a shliach lahalacha. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah rather, next case. Ha'isha sha'amra eskaba ligiti. If a woman says to a shliach, accept this get for me, and she's allowed to make a shliach l'kabbala, same ratza lachzar, lo yachzar. If the husband gives the get to the shliach and then wants to be chozer, he may not be chozer because the wife made the shliach into a shliach l'kabbala. The shliach l'kabbala works the same way as the woman herself works. Just like once the woman receives her get, the husband's not allowed to be chozer. So too, once the shliach l'kabbala receives the get, the husband's not allowed to be chozer. Lefichach, therefore, im amar lo abal, if the shliach presents himself to the baal and says, your wife designated me as a shliach l'kabbala, please give me the get. And the husband says, I don't want you to be mekabel the get, but here's the get and bring it to her. If he wants to be chozer, he can be chozer. Why? Because the husband said, I reject that you're going to be a shliach l'kabbalah, but I'm appointing you as a shliach l'alacha. So since he's a shliach l'alacha, it's the same halacha as a regular shliach l'alacha, and he's allowed to be chozer until the get reaches the wife. Reb Shimon Gamliel Amar Afo Ameres Toligiti, so too, if a woman says, Toligiti, go bring this get to me, Imratza Lachzar, Lo Yachzar. If the husband wants to be Chozer, he cannot be Chozer, Rashi explains, because this is a Lashon of Kabbalah. Again, the woman is making a Shliach LaKabbalah. The halacha is, by a Shliach LaKabbalah, once the Shliach receives the get, no Chazara, whereas by a Shliach LaHalacha, the husband's allowed to be Chozer until the wife receives the get from the Shliach LaHalacha, or until the wife's Shliach LaKabbalah accepts the get from the shliach lehalacha. Says the Gemara now. So Amar Rav Acha Berei the Rav Avya le Rav Ashi. Taima, the reason that the Baal is allowed to be chozer on the shlichus where he said holech. This is in the second case in the Reisha of the Mishnah, where it said, Omer eskabel getz elishti, a holech getz elishti. So says the Gemara, Rav Acha Berei, the Rav Avya says to Rav Ashi, the reason that the husband's allowed to retract, lo shavya ihi shliach l'kabbalah, is because she didn't make the shliach a shliach l'kabbalah. Ha shavisa I shliach l'kabbalah, ratza lachzar, lo yachzar. But if she made him a shliach l'kabbalah, then if the husband wants to be chozer, he may not be chozer. So he may not be chozer, meaning that this is sort of like an indirect way of saying that once the woman designates the shliach l'kabbalah, designates the shliach as a shliach l'kabbalah, the husband is not able to change the nature of the shlichus. And therefore, immediately when the shliach receives the get, the husband is stuck, he's not able to retract. The problem is that contradicts the next clause of the Mishnah, because the next clause of the Mishnah was where the shliach came and said, hey, I'm the shliach l'kabbalah, give me the get. And the husband said, "Efshi shetzkabbalah, I don't want you to be a shliach l'kabbalah, I want you rather to be a shliach l'alacha." So we're now going to get involved in this sugya and the discrepancy between these two cases. But the Gemara says, again, the reason that the husband is allowed to retract is because she didn't make him a shliach l'kabbalah. However, if the wife made a shliach l'kabbalah, then even in the first case of the Mishnah, says the Gemara, emratza lachzar yot lo yachzar. Why not? Shma mina holech, because when the husband said holech gets el ishti, and the wife had already made the shliach l'kabbalah, when he says holech kizchi dami, it's as if he says, I want her to accept this get. I want her to be mezakeh this get. I want to be mezakeh her with this get, rather, right away. So the problem is that we had a sugya in the first parak of the Masechta, whether holech is kizchi dami or not. So in other words, zechi means that the woman accepts the get. So when the husband says holech, bring it to her, so is she immediately kona the get? Does she immediately accept the get? Or does she not accept the get until it actually physically reaches her hands? So we have this sugya in the first parak in the Masechta. The problem is, in the first parak of the Masechta, we didn't use this Mishnah as a raya. So if we're going to try to say that the first clause of the Mishnah proves to us that holech is kizchi dami, why didn't we in the first parak, in the sugya in the first parak, why didn't we bring this Mishnah as a raya one way or another? So isn't this a raya that holech kizchi? Because the husband said holech, and all of a sudden the wife is going to be divorced. So says the Gemara, lo, li olam eim lecho holech lav kischi dami. No, maybe I'll tell you that holech is lav kischi. V'skabel get zele ishti yitzrichale. The chiddush of the first part of the Mishnah is where the husband says, so in other words, what the Gemara is saying now is, no, when the husband says holech, he doesn't mean zchi, he actually means to make the shliach a shliach la'olacha, a regular shliach la'olacha. The chiddush of the first part of the Mishnah is that the husband says, eskabel gezel ishti, the salkadei techamina, hoel ubal lav bar shavya shliach l'kabolahu, afagav demata gita l'yoda lo avigita, kamash malon, deskabel v'holech ka'amar. So the chiddush of the first part of the Mishnah is that when the husband says, eskabel gezel ishti, I might think because the husband is not eligible to make a shliach l'kabbalah, it's a worthless shlichas, kamash malon. No, that even though the husband used the lashon of kabbalah, really what he did is he made the guy into a shliach l'holacha, and therefore when the woman gets the get, it's going to be a valid get. Tanan, we bring another raya, so second line in the wide lines. Ha'isha shamra eskabel li'giti, if a woman says, accept a get for me, emratza lachzor yilo yachzor, because it's shliach l'kabbalah. My lav, loshna kabbalah, loshna halacha. So isn't this the case that it doesn't matter whether it's a shliach la'alacha or a shliach l'kabbalah, he is not allowed to be chozer, because even if he said holech, it's kizchi dami, says the Gemara, no, we're not talking about a shliach la'alacha at all. A kabbalah, this is a shliach la'kabbalah. The halacha by a shliach la'kabbalah is, once it reaches the shliach's hands, he's not allowed to be chozer. Just like once you give the get to the woman directly, you're not allowed to be chozer. Tashma, next raya, lefichach, im amar lo abal, I efshi shetkabela, elaholech v'teinla, where the husband says to the shliach, who was designated a shliach la'kabbalah by the wife, he says, I don't want you to be a shliach la'kabbalah, but I'm going to make you into a shliach la'alacha, and ratza lachzor, yachzor. Now the husband's allowed to be chozer because he's like a regular shliach la'alacha. Taima damar iefshi. The reason that he said is because iefshi. He specifically deregistered the shliach from being a shliach la'kabbalah and designated him as a shliach la'alacha. Halo amar lo iefshi, im ratza lachzor, lo yachzor. But if he didn't say iefshi, if he didn't go through this whole language and say, I don't want you to be a shliach la'kabbalah, rather I want you to be a shliach la'alacha. If he wanted to be chozer, he wouldn't be able to be chozer. Shema mina, holech kizchi dami. So don't we see that holech kizchi dami? Because he gave the person the get, and therefore it's as if he wants his wife to be mezak in the get right away. Says the Gemara, no, dilma behelech. So maybe over there, he didn't say holech, he said helech. In other words, here it is. Here it is, meaning effective immediately. I want you, taka, to be a shliach la'kabbalah, and here it is, effective immediately. Says the Gemara now, who is eligible to be a shliach? Pshita ish avi shliach la'olacha, shakem bal molech et li'ishto. A man is allowed to serve as a shliach la'olacha, because really when only the two protagonists are involved, the man and the man is giving the get to the woman, so the man is doing the olacha, the woman is doing the kabbalah. V'isha v'shliach l'kabbalah, a woman is allowed to be a shliach l'kabbalah, shekein isha makabelas gita miyabala, because a woman directly accepts the get from a husband. Ish l'kabbalah v'isha l'olacha mai, is a man allowed to be a shliach l'kabbalah, is a woman allowed to be a shliach l'olacha? Tashma, the Gemara brings a raya. Omer eskabel getzel ishti. If a person says, accept his get from my wife, ohole getzel ishti, or be a shliach l'olacha, in ratzolach or yachzer. That was the first case in the Mishnah. Ha'isha shamra eskabel ligiti. If a woman says, accept this get for me, in ratzolach or lo yachzer. So my lav b'chad shliach, aren't we talking about one shliach in the Mishnah? We're talking about the guy serving both as a shliach la'alacha and a shliach la'kabbalah. V'shma mina kosher la'kabbalah, kosher la'alacha. Says the Gemara, lo, v'shnei shluchim. We're talking about two shluchim. The first case in the Mishnah where the Baal is making a shliach la'alacha, we're talking about a guy. Where the woman is making a shliach la'kabbalah, we're talking about a woman. But says the Gemara, tashma lefichach, imamra lo abal, yefshi shatkabbalah, elaholech v'teinla, imratza lachzor yachzor. The second case in the Mishnah was the woman made a shliach la'kabbalah, came to the husband. The husband said, I don't want you to be a shliach la'kabbalah, I want you to be a shliach la'alacha. Now go bring the getter. It's the same person. V'acha dechad shliachu, v'shma mina, kosher la'kabbalah, kosher la'alacha. Pasher mina, ish ave shliach la'kabbalah. So from here we know that a man could be a shliach la'kabbalah. Shekein av mekabel get libito, because we have a precedent for this. A father can accept a get for his minor daughter, katana. Say, isha la'alacha tibay lecha. But we still have a kasha. Can a woman be a shliach la'alacha? My. So what's the deal with that? So I'm a Rav Mari, tashma. Afanashim shein nemanos lomar meis bala. Even women who are tsoros to a, or who are sort of co-wives or adversaries with a woman, that they're not allowed to believe to say that her husband died, because we're afraid that they're trying to trick the woman into remarrying and her husband's really alive. Nemanos lavi esgita. they're believed to bring your get because they have to say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. V'also malachi, so they're believed, the women are believed to bring the get to another woman. So aren't they serving as a shliach la'alacha? Zemer Rav Ashi, me'seifa nami shmamina. Yeah, that is true. That's a good raya, but we have a raya from the Sefer of our own Mishnah as well. D'ktani seifa, ha'isha atzma mevias gita, the woman herself, it brings her get, uvelvad she tzricha lomer b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. So long as she says b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam v'ukimna b'halacha, and we're mukim this by a shliach l'alacha, meaning the woman is bringing her get, and the get is not going to be effective until after she gets to Eretz Yisrael and says in front of Beis Din b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Obviously, she's only a shliach l'alacha, because if she actually accepted the get for herself, she would have been divorced in Bavel already. But she's not divorced until she gets her sisrol and gets the basin. Obviously, therefore, not only can a man be a shliach l'kabbalah, but also over here we have a raya that a woman can be a shliach l'alacha. We'll stop here. We'll pick up with Itmar at the two dots tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.